Okay, we're on Daf Samech Gimel Amud Bet 63b, towards the end of the thin lines, and we're examining some verses now to explain what they mean. So the verse we're looking at is V'yidaber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim, and Hashem spoke to Moshe panim al panim. What does it mean, panim al panim, face to face? So Amar Rabbi Yitzhak explains as follows. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, ani v'ata nazbir panim bahalacha. Moshe, you and I, let's... So this bit is not so easy to translate, because the translation of the words is not the translation of the meaning. The words literally mean nazbir panim. Let's explain our faces bahalacha, in halacha. Right? So it means nothing, apparently it doesn't mean anything like that. The translation here in the Mo'ayot school is, let us show one another a kindly face in studying the law. Nazbir panim. From Sever
panim.
Sever panim.
That was the subject of translation.
Sever panim.
Yeah, it's to show a kind face. Right? So what's going on here? So first of all, the footnote here explains that Rabbi Yitzhak is taking it out of its simple meaning of Hashem speaking face to face with Moshe. Why? Because we know later on in the Torah it says that Hashem says, "You, no one can see my face." So how can he talk to Moshe face to face? No one can see my face. So it must be that it doesn't mean literally that they spoke face to face. Therefore, I need to find a different explanation for this pasuk of what it must mean face to face. It can't mean that.
He speaks direct.
Mean, but what does that mean?
We're supposed to speak to Hashem like our best friend.
Yeah.
So how's he speaking to Moshe? He says, Moshe says, Anivata.
Anivata.
Like Moshe is his best friend.
It's like the, when you give the law, yeah. The halacha is there. He not talk wrong. He talk direct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you can say that.
Face to face.
So he also wants to point out the what's this the kindly faith, the sever panim. So there is a rule in Torah that how does he explain it here? That it says in Tanit, I don't know, I must have missed that bit. Tanit, Davchet Amud Aleph, that one cannot acquire Torah unless his teacher shows him a kindly face. How am I doing?
You're doing good.
No, no. Oh, sorry.
Now we know why he...
That's why it's not gagging.
If
the teacher comes in grumpy, you can't learn nothing. The teacher's not showing you a kindly face. If you're not getting on with the teacher, need a new teacher. You're not going to learn from him.
Oh, that brings back memory. When I was being forced to be a substitute, when I was a school administrator, the boys would drive me nuts. I'd be kind enough to show them how to take apart a computer. And
they didn't appreciate you. What can you do? Okay, so that's explanation number one of what it means face to face. There's another explanation, Ika to Amre, alternatively, but others that say, this is what Hashem said to Moshe. Kashem she'ani hizbarati lacha panim, just like I show my kind face to you. Kach ata hazber panim l'Yisrael, b'chazer ha'ohel l'mkomo. So too you should show on Israel, the people of Israel, a kind face, and return the tent to its place. What does that mean? So, return the tent to its place means, apparently here means to the center of the camp. Right? The tent was at one point outside the camp. We read it was outside the camp. He put the tent outside the camp.
Which tent?
the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. Yeah, we learned that from the 12 mil, that you have to go a distance of 12 mil to seek your... Right, that was because the tent was outside the camp. I don't know why, like, why they did burn it on and it saved me why.
Was this after the golden calf?
Yeah.
That's why.
After the golden calf, you're right, after golden calf, he took the tent outside the camp. Presumably because the camp wasn't holy enough. Right? If the camp is, right, and then you can't put that. And Hashem says, no, bring it back, which is huge.
So he,
right?
did it for himself?
Who did what?
Took
it. He says he learned from Hashem that Hashem distanced himself from Am Yisrael after the golden calf. So he learned from that that he should also take the tent out. But then, obviously, we're learning here that Hashem is telling him to put it, according to this interpretation, to put it back into the camp. Right? So Moshe too has to show the Am Yisrael a kind face. Kilu. Like Moshe is a representative, so to speak, of Hashem in that respect. And just like Hashem is showing Am Yisrael a kind face, so too Moshe has to show them a kind face and bring the tent back into the camp. And then we can all merit from having the Shekhinah dwelling amongst us. Okay. So then the Gemara continues with the next part of that verse, which says, "Veshav el hamachaneh," and he returned to the camp. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu says, "Malo Kadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe." Hashem said to Moshe, "Achshav yomru harav b'kaas v'talmid b'kaas." Now, in fact, since he left the camp, the people will say, they will say that the Rav, the master, is angry, and the Talmid, the student, is angry. Right. What does that mean? The master is angry and the student is angry. The fact that Moshe is outside the camp, people will say that Hashem, the master, is angry, and the student, Moshe, is also angry, because Moshe has also stayed outside the camp. Kilo, they would say otherwise that Moshe is angry with the people. Yisrael matahe elehem, and then what will be of Yisrael? What will be of Am Yisrael in that case? Imatam achzir ohel melim kumot mutar. If you return the tent to its place inside the camp, then all will be well. The imlav, and if not, Yeshua ben Nun talmidech. Mesharet tachtecha. If not, then Yeshua ben Nun, your student, will serve in your place. Right? He'll take over. Hashem was telling Moshe that if he didn't go back into the camp, Hashem would replace him with Yeshua. Behind Odichtiv, and that's why it's written, Bashav el hamachaneh, return to the camp.
So here
it says the Shav. We're now learning that Shav is not that he returned. Shav is now an instruction. But Shav, return to the camp. It's a commandment from, we're reinterpreting, not say that Shav, he returned, but rather Shav, Hashem instructed him, Shav, you should return to the camp.
It's not a
what?
He was not agreed.
Angry. Who? Agree, didn't agree. He didn't agree that he'd take the tent out. Apparently not. Apparently Moshe, from what it looked like, did it from his own sfarah. He saw that Hashem was angry and removed himself. After the golden calf, Hashem took, we had, when we received the Torah, we had two crowns. One for Naseh, one for Nishma. And everyone had two crowns. Hashem took all the crowns off Am Yisrael after the golden calf and gave them all to Moshe. So Moshe learned from here that Hashem wasn't happy with Am Yisrael. He wasn't with, so he had to be outside. For them, not for himself. Moshe wasn't for himself. He understood that that's what Hashem wanted, and Hashem had to tell him, no, it's not the right approach. Right? Even though I'm angry with the people, it's not you, the Shaliach, should be with them.
Listen to me, I read today from Allah, the wife, and there is a decree in heaven, and you have to decide to travel, you have to go. Because you saw there is a decree in this place where you are now, and you have decided to travel, you have to go to this place. Because you judged. When you go out from this place, let's say you know in Jerusalem, you have decided to go to the north, go to the north. Because now the decree is gone.
And in that place.
So only when you become you're quiet in this place. Now, let's say you become famous in this place, I'm here, so then you can be the judge for me.
She knew him Makom, she knew him Mazal. You change your place, you change your Mazal. Mazal is also based on the place. Mazal means colloquially luck, but it's more luck, it means more.
It literally means constellation.
Yeah, it's to do with.
As in astrology.
The yeah, English words don't deal with, because we don't have the concepts to kind of like grasp what it means. That Mazal's not like luck, because luck means kind of a random thing, right? It's pure. So it's dafka, the opposite. In Hebrew, Mazal doesn't mean random luck. It means your Mazal is what you have been blessed with to get fixed, right? And you can change your Mazal depending on yourself.
Changing the stars.
Is it,
no, it's over the stars.
Because we're above the stars.
Do you see? Right, the luck is in the stars. There's
with the Goyim.
Generally speaking, the sages explain that the blessing that comes down to the world, generally and specifically, can be seen through the stars. It's called reading the stars. Right? Which has real truth. Why? It's not because the stars actually do anything. The stars are an indicator. If you know how to read the stars, you can see what's coming. Because the stars are an interface. They're like the highest point of this world. They're an interface. So you see what's coming down. So that's why people read the stars, give you the horoscopes. I mean, they'll show you now because no one knows what they're doing. But in theory, it had true basis. You can see what's on its way, what's coming. And so when a person would see what their Mazal is in the stars, would see through the constellations, and Mazalim are the constellations as well, they would see what's coming, but you can change that, right? The secular world is basically stuck in terms of whatever's coming to me is coming to me. But once a person taps into prayer's outside of, is above the stars, but then you can change your Mazal, you can change everything.
But getting back to astrology,
yes,
your average newspaper astrology is nonsense, but
not your average, all of them.
Okay, but if you use a professional astrologer,
I don't know what that means.
Someone who makes their living out of astrology.
Just because you pay him, but go on.
No. And
it has to be her.
Yes.
Go on, let go, please.
And yes. They know what they're doing, and they're using the right program so that they can get what your natal chart is. You can figure out what you started with, what your advantages and disadvantages are, and work from there.
It's possible. I agree it's possible. If a person has the correct knowledge, and it's a big if. It's a big if in these days, because even the people who are learning, who do they learn from? Right? They're learning from. They don't know if they're reading a book that it's true, that's just been made up, that's just nonsense.
No, so you don't get this from a book.
No. Okay.
I mean, you get. If you want to do natal charts by hand, then you have to pull out the books. But they're books of tables, not books of whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's a real pain.
It's in the interpretation. Because you know what the star is. There's a star, there's another star, there's another star. Question is, what does that mean?
No, it is, you know, whether it's a conjunction or a triangle or a square of different planets in different houses, and depending on you know, where you were born and the time you were born, you can get that. And then from there,
it's interpreted. See, all in the interpretation.
You can interpretation,
but that's who did.
But that you had to learn from another professional. You can't get it from
you
the
have
book.
To, you, the only way you can get that is an unbroken chain of tradition.
Right.
Because if you've got a break in that chain, it means someone made it up. Right. If they didn't get it from someone else, then they have to make it up where they're going to get it from. They watched it on TV. In, oh, I think a square means you're going to be happy. So, right?
No, they learn it from their other professional.
At the face. So that's what I'm saying. It has to be an unbroken,
it has to be
an unbroken
chain.
Because once you break the link, you're floating in free air.
I mean, just to use an astrological program just gives you a snapshot. It's interpretation of the snapshot. I mean, it makes calculations a lot easier when the program's doing the math.
Okay. So let's continue a little bit more. Amar Rava says, Afal Piken, even though he came back into the camp, Loyatsa Davar Levatla, the words did not go to nothingness. What does it mean? The word did not go to nothingness. So the brackets, we don't read the brackets, but the brackets here tell you what we're talking about. So I'll just tell you what the brackets say. The brackets say, Shenemar Misharatav Yoshua ben Nun Na'ar Lo Yamish Mitoch Ha'oel. It says that the Yoshua ben Nun didn't leave the tent. Right? Because we see the Moshe that Yoshua did eventually succeed and replace Moshe. Even though at this time, just after, I think, Bli Neder, that just after the golden calf, there was no indication that Yoshua was going to succeed Moshe. He hadn't yet hit the rock. He hadn't yet been banned from going into Eretz Israel. There was no indication. Well, the indication was Moshe was going to lead them into Eretz Israel. We were going to build the temple. We were going to have Geula, end of game, finished, we're all done. Everything's good. But nothing is wasted. All of Hashem's words have meaning. And therefore we see that in the end, that's exactly what did happen. That Yeshua did take over.
It took 40 years.
40 years later. 39 and a half years later. Very good.
I mean, we keep forgetting about the sin of the spies.
In what way?
Without the sin of the spies, we could have made it in 3 days.
Oh, I see. All right. Uh-huh. You're right. Okay.
And I still think that the Arab Rav had a part in it.
In what?
In the sin of the spies.
Completely. Okay. Shalom, Rav Gedalia. How are you doing?
When they go direct to Eretz Israel, Moshe can never enter.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because he built the temple.
No, if they went direct. That was before he there wasn't any problem. He didn't hit the rock. He didn't have a problem. If they would have gone direct, everything would have been good.
Yeah.
Then they would have built the temple and everything would have been good.
Yeah, only sin?
No, but we wouldn't have sinned. We only sinned because we didn't go straight. If we went straight into Eretz Israel, then we wouldn't have had the problem. The problem was that we hung around in the desert complaining for 40 years.
No, I mean they destroyed the first temple.
But there's no one saying they wouldn't have been destroyed. No, we would have gone straight in. Gulab, the Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the Exodus would have been the final. That would have been the first. There wouldn't have been two. So now there's two.
But this is your explanation. You say about it. So, the 10 spices in the world.
You can say also that, but you also at every stage with Adam Arishon, also Adam Arishon saw that it was better to not go in yet and blah blah blah. They also different, but at each stage we had the chance. Shaul HaMelech could have been the first and the last king, and that would have been it. At each stage we have the opportunity, but Chazal say it's better. right? That the fact that we've been 2,000 years, by the time we do finish, that's a shame, we should be today, shortly after I finish this class, we'll be off. Then it, we'll all see that the last 2,000 years is what gives us it's going to be even greater because of all the suffering. It's dafka because of all everything that we've gone through that it's going to be huge, right? Whereas if everything had been wonderful straight from the off, oh, very nice. Thank you very much, Hashem. It was very nice, but you know, it's kind of just expected. Wouldn't be such a party, right? You have a big party when you get saved from a big trouble. You have a huge party. When you get saved from a little trouble, oh, you're a little bit happy. Saved from 2,000 years of being attacked and killed and chopped up and chased and pilloried and disgraced and blah, blah, blah. Now you're saved. Poch Hashem, now you can party. Now.
Right, but we're still dealing.
1,000 years of Shabbos.
We're still dealing with the Amalekites. Whether it's down the cycle of Hamas or in England or in Ukraine or what have you.
Or inside ourselves.
Or inside ourselves.
Yes. Yofi, your wife's off today.
No, I did. I have to bring it to
you. Yeah. Psh. She's having a good trip. Everything's good there?
There's nothing there. The most thing is in close to Odessa.
I am. Cool. Everything should be very well and very wonderful.
What do you know about? Should we protect
someone? You know the guy who stands there at the airport with the sign for their trip? Where that's Rabbi Nachman. And he's got a sign saying, come with me. Yeah, it's fine to get on the bus. After I
you see the stories about 100 years ago when they go to Oman.
There they were. My friend Bobby Rosenberg is in the yeshiv. He was the student of Rabbi Rosenfeld. He went to Oman. His first time he went to Oman was back in the old days when it was in the back garden of the woman's house. And you had to go through Russia because it was all Russian there, and you had to go through the KGB, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so he spent his entire wedding money, which was at that time $5,000, which in our time is probably like $20,000. Right? We're talking like 20 years ago, right? And on the trip, you had to go through Russia, and they never even got there. Never got there. Subsequently, like a year too late, he managed to get there. Spent all his wedding money, didn't even get there. Siwat Nefesh, his wife's Siwat Nefesh, and never mind his.
There was two.
She wasn't even Breslov, she was Chabad. And her dad was very against the wedding. Breslov was very, right? Dad, you're not marrying a Breslov, are you? Crazy.
I mean, you read the news, and you know, it's like, you know, Russia's in the border of Ukraine, and you know, they're. You know, everyone's saying World War III, and
yeah, don't worry about that.
I'm not.
See, there was two Tsar King.
Yeah.
The one always they was living in Oman, I think 100 years ago. They want always make aliyah to Israel. So I think for 20 years, always they start to travel. They have to most time they walk. So there was a million the way. And then it was the time to go to Oman, and it was Hashanah, so they left to go back. Next time after Hashanah, they start again to go back. Now we have to wait, we have to go back, because it was Hashanah, and they
never left. They never left.
I think we didn't go to
Oman. Okay, let's do a bit more. Va'od Petach Rabbi Yehuda, Bechvod Torah V'drash. We said yesterday that they would open their words of Torah by giving honor to either the host or to the Torah, depending on their point of view, their hashkafa. So Rabbi Yehuda would open with words of honor for those who are studying Torah. Lord Patach Rabbi Yehuda Bichvod Torah with the Rash, and he explains as follows. So he explains the pasuk in Devarim, which says, Hasket Ushma Yisrael Hayom Hazeh Niyeta La'am. Hasket Ushma. Pay heed and listen. Where the pay heed means. Pay heed and listen. Listen up, Am Yisrael. Hayom Hazeh Niyeta La'am. On this day you will become a nation. Okay, so that's what the pasuk says. So Rabbi Yehuda explains like this: "Uchi oto hayom nitzna Torah Israel." How can the pasuk say that on that day they became a nation? Was it that day when Am Yisrael received the Torah? Surely the day we became a nation was on the day we received the Torah. So why does it say a bit later on that on this day you become a nation? "V'halo oto yom sof arba'im shana haya." Wasn't that day when that verse was said, referring to the day which is at the end of the 40 years? Ela rather, lamatcha shechaviva Torah al lomadeha b'chol yom v'yom. Rather, it comes to teach you that each and every day, that the Torah is as dear to those who study it, k'yom shenatna mehar Sinai, as on the day that we got it on Mount Sinai. Right? Torah should be as sweet in our mouths as on the day we first received it. As it was 40 years after they received it, it was like the day that they received it. Also be that on the day we actually 40th day, on the end of the 40 years when we left the desert, it was actually the time that we did become a nation. Until then, we're still arguing and fighting, and we weren't ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. So we had the making of a nation, but maybe we weren't. But that's not the explanation that we want to hear. The explanation says here that we actually became a nation when we got the Torah, and then. The fact that the Torah told us that we became a nation on that day, at the end of the 40 years, only came to teach us that it was as sweet as the first day. It was the first day that we got it. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Bered Rabbi Chia, Ish Kafa Akot. Rabbi Tanchum, the son of Rabbi Chia. He gave it there, and he's giving it right now. Teda. So Rab Tanchum, the son of Rabbi Chia, who lived in a place called Kfar Akko, said the following. Teda, you should know. Shaharei Adam Korei Kriyat Shema Shacharit Barabit. A person recites the Shema every morning and every evening. Ve'erev echad eino koreh. And if one evening he does not read it, domeh k'mi shelo kara kriyat Shema me'olam. It's like one who has never said the Shema ever. What's he saying? Morning and evening. Say the Shema in the morning and the evening. If he doesn't say it in one evening, then it's like he'd never said it. Why? Maybe because if you don't say it in the morning, then you said it the night before. So on that day, you've still said it once. But in a new day, because the day starts in the evening, so if you don't say it in the evening, it's like you've never said it. Because the day is new, the day has been renewed. Each day is a new creation. Huh? Yeah, but the day, if you said it,
the day starts in the evening.
In the evening. So if you don't say it in the evening, it's like you've never said it, because it's a new day. because the day began in the evening, and on this day I've never said it.
What time does evening start?
What time does evening start? It's a discussion as to when it starts, not a simple answer, but the simplest answer is when the stars come out. Okay, so it's like, hold on, I'm just thinking if I should say anything on that. So it's like someone's never recited it, right? So this fits in, this is on the back of what we just learned, that the Torah should be like the person receives it new every day. So the fact is, if he doesn't, the Shema is Omar Chut Shemayim, it's taking on the yoke of heaven. It's accepting Hashem's Torah, Kilu, anew every day. So a person who doesn't accept it anew every day, it's like he hasn't accepted it. It's like, because it's a sweet today. Because it should be. Like every day is new. Say about when you learn, you have to review, to go over and over and over. But it shouldn't be like you're just going over and repeating what you already know. A person should try and learn and go over as if you never learned it before. So it's completely new. Like you've never seen this before. It's the first time you've seen it. Which is good for most of us because our brains are so forgetful, we can do that anyway. It's easy to do that for us. Have I seen this before? Have I looked at this before? Do we read this yesterday? I can't remember. That's such a high level.
You said Hashem the first time. Listen to it, Rabbi. I say it's like again when he go to Mikwe.
Right, you're not. You're not.
After Mikwe, he's
right. True.
Yeah. So before it was nothing. So it's like we have to say think so too. All the time we do something. It's like the first time. Like the first time. With all the power, with all this, every time.
And the excitement, the enthusiasm.
It's like the first time.
That's how it's supposed to be. It's twelve too.
Because Hashem renews creation all the time. Every moment and every moment is a new creation. It's not one continuous thing. It's all at the will of Hashem at every single moment. So every single moment is a new creation. It's all brand new. And so to us, which is also important, because then we know that we're not attached to the past. We can everything that happened. You can teshuvah, finish, done, start again, new every day. And Nachman says the person has to make a new start every single day, and even within the day, you should make a new start as many times as you need to start again from anew. You're a new creation.
When he died, he said, "I have no reason to continue living."
He couldn't renew it. He couldn't renew himself anymore because there wasn't anything left to do. I don't think we have to worry about that yet. If you think you've got a problem, go speak to the Rav. I think I may have finished my entire task in this world. Now. What should I do now? Let's have a look. See if that's exactly right. Tov, the Gemara is now going to question, what's that word hasket? We said in the previous pasuk, hasketu shema Yisrael. Heed and listen up. Listen, Yisrael. So the word hasket is a bit of an unusual word. So that's what the Gemara is picking on. Yes?
It's also unusual that it's not.
Oh yeah?
The Tamim Mitzvah.
Oh yeah? No.
And it has a mapach pashta, hasketu shema. Mapach pashta. words that usually, mapach, pashta, are two words that go together.
Yeah, okay.
And after the word hasked, it puts a psik, a line, that you have to stop. Even though it's a connector, you have to stop after hasked. Even though it's telling you the same line, stop.
Okay.
To bring I don't know what's special about it.
What? What? No, not in Shema. It's in a few places in the Torah. It says Shema Yisrael. It's not only in Shema Yisrael. So this is one of the places. It says Hasket Ushma Yisrael Hayom Hazeh Niyet El Am. Listen up, Am Yisrael. On this day, you became a nation. So what's the word Hasket come to teach you? Asu kitot kitot ve'isku b'Torah comes to teach to make kitot kitot groups and groups and learn Torah, right? You should learn Torah in groups. Rashi says hasket asu kitot kitot darish hem kamo es asu. Ah, hasket he learns out like asu. Get asu means asu. Darish hem kamo asu.
So what is more important?
What's
saying in groups when you make Shema, it's like you study Torah.
Torah Shema is part of the Torah. So when you read Shema, you're reading Torah. So you are. Yeah.
So it's better to make
another group to
Shema than
for... No, so this is different. So this is learning Torah in groups. Prayer is different. If you're saying prayer is better Bahadrat Barov Am Hadrat HaMelech. In the when you have more people, it's more Kavod for Hashem. That's in prayer. Come together. But when you're learning Torah, it's better to engage to in small groups. So, I guess what we're learning now from why Gemara says the fisha ena Torah niknet ela b'chavura, because Torah is not acquired except through a chavura, study partners, right? Either a chavuta, a single study partner, or a chevra, like this.
Chabura. I make my Shema alone. Most time I start before them. Why? Because they move too fast. Understand? So, it was more of a time to make Shema alone. And then instead of
ask a posek what's better to do. Because some things are better to do better. Like Shemona Esrei, it's much better to start with.
Yeah,
the chazan, right? But even if you're not, you have to go faster. So, for example, if you're in Shema and you started with the, and they're going really zip, and you want to go slowly, you need. It's better to speed up in order to start the Shemona Esrei together than to continue doing your Shema slowly and nicely. Lineda, but you should ask a possible.
No, last week we covered that.
You start early the Shema, but in the end you're in the same level.
Nahon, if you started earlier, but if you start at the same time, you see that, then you still have to.
You're not made together than the midah.
From what I remember from class, and we can hear it on the tape.
Yeah.
As long as you start when they're ending, the repetition is fine.
That's also fine. If you come in late, then you can start. If you can finish while they're still finishing.
No, if you can start.
I know, but
when they're finishing,
it depends. There's different. It's not just one. It's not just one rule. It depends on when you came in, and when you didn't, and whether you're starting. It's different whether you're doing.
Because if I'm starting my Shema when they're starting their Shema.
Yeah.
I will be able to start Shemona Esrei when they're ending their Shemona Esrei.
Okay.
Because
so
I can't see that fast. I can't read that fast.
Okay. So what was the advice?
His advice was, as long as you can start
while they're still
in any part.
Okay, fine. Healthy. Very good.
Normally they're talking about Moedim, which is one section.
Okay. Tov, I think that's us for today. Where did we finish? Let me just see. Yeah, okay, that's good.
You need a sticky?
No, I just put a pencil. Old fashioned.